Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Halt Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, our Thanksgiving version of it. I'm Jim Galati. He is Jeff Byers. Jeff, happy Thanksgiving to you.
A happy Thanksgiving to you. Hope everybody's having a great Thanksgiving weekend. And Jim, if you don't mind, just pass the gravy there. I'm just going to finish up the mashed potatoes while we're finishing up.
You're asking Jim to give up the gravy. Not likely, my friend.
It was a silly request.
You know, all right. What's your favorite part of the Thanksgiving meal?
I really do. So I'm a white meat guy, and I really do. I like the turkey, and I am one of those that I do like putting. You know, I know one of the things James Franklin asked about at his press conference with one of the reporters was, "Do you eat like one thing at a time?" I don't. I like putting some corn and mashed potatoes on one forkful, and then the next fork, some stuffing and some turkey. So I like it all. I really like the side dishes. I like the rolls. Yes, I am all about the Thanksgiving feast.
I am too. I love it. I like food. So I like Thanksgiving. And my favorite, Jeff, and I'm not sure if you're old enough to remember this. I'm sure some of our listeners do. Do you remember when Penn State Pitt on Thanksgiving Friday was a thing?
Oh, yes. Loved it.
All right. That was the day for me and my dad, okay? Leftovers in front of the TV in the living room, which was a big deal back then, okay? That didn't happen often. And my dad would cook the leftovers, and you reminded me of this, because it would all go into the same pan. You know, the meat, the gravy, the stuffing, it would just all be one. And wow, that's what we ate. And I think I enjoyed that meal better than Thanksgiving Day.
Just keep the cranberries out of there. Yes. I am not a cranberry guy, but everything else I'm all in on.
I agree with you. It doesn't belong as part of it. Last Thanksgiving question. Are you in charge of carving the turkey?
I have carved the turkey in a couple of the years more recently. More often than not, though, my father-in-law handles that part of it as well. I'm certainly willing to help out on that end. Nobody is willing to let me near any of the preparation, which I'm okay with. And, you know, I'm much too busy watching football to help with the cleanup. So my role is pretty much just to consume, which is exactly what I want my role to be. And I have to share with you, Jim, just real quick on the Pitt Penn State series. So my grandfather on my mom's side was a Pitt grad, a huge Pitt fan. And we would go to the game together. And when I was very young, like, we would actually go and sit together. And two stories, quick ones. In 1976, I did not go to the game. That was a night game. Tony Dorsett ran wild, Pitt on its way to a national title. And I think Pitt won that game 24-7 at Three Rivers Stadium. Now, mind you, in those days, of course, we did not have cell phones. I know, kids, hard to believe. So I am at the time, I would have been 7 years old. I am asleep. I watched the game. I'm sad, seven-year-old sad. My team lost. I go to bed. My mom comes in and wakes me up at, I don't even know, 11:30 or something, and says, "You need to come out to the kitchen," which is where our phone was, "and talk to your grandfather." Well, I could hardly understand him. He was so hoarse. And he's, "How did you like my Pitt Panthers?" He's rubbing stone on the wound of a seven-year-old at like midnight after a Pitt Penn State game. So the following year, we did go to the game together. Actually, the following 2 years. And we both agreed after that 78 season, you know, let's go to the game and then maybe we'll sit in different places. I'll sit with Penn State fans. You go sit with Pitt fans, and we'll get together after the game. But watching the game together, not a good idea. And so that's what we did from that point on. We'd always go to the game. We'd always meet up and go back and talk it over afterward. But, yeah, watching the game right next to each other on seats was not a good experience for either of us.
Not smart. You know, it's one of those things where I would, after years, I would just, my response to anything from a Pitt fan is just going to be 48-14.
Amen. Right there with you.
Circling back to the turkey conversation, when I was being raised, there was my mother in the house and her husband, my dad, and four boys. So it was all boys. We had no choice but to help in the kitchen and doing those things. So then as an adult, going to the in-laws, and they had daughters in the family, a son, but the men, the husband, the son, nowhere near the kitchen. Me, just by, you know, conditioning, walk into the kitchen. What could I do to help? Well, the first Thanksgiving doing that, it was carve the turkey. I'm like, oh, man, that's the one thing I did. Well, guess what? Years late, I am still, it's just, you do it once, Jeff, that's it. You're locked in. So my role is carving the turkey and mashing the potatoes.
That's not a bad couple of roles to have, I will say.
No. And then, of course, as you put it, consuming the meal, each to their skills, Jeff. Amen, to their skills.
Amen.
All right. Let's move on to football. Though I'm sure our listeners want to hear more about our holiday things. We'll have to put that on hold till we get close to Christmas. Then we'll start giving them those discussions. I am, by the way, Can't wait for Jeff Byers on baking his favorite cookies.
We are definitely going to have to share some stories.
Ooh, I love a good cookie discussion. All right, let's move on to Penn State football. Jeff, it's incredible. We are at the last week of the regular season. Just absolutely incredible. Penn State 10-1. I'm trying not to just assume this last victory to make it 11-1. Where do you stand on the season as a whole? Glass half full or glass half empty, Jeff?
Half full and then some, and pour me another, yes, please. I do think there's work to be done when they get to the playoffs. And yes, I'm saying when they get to the playoffs, they'll take care of business here against Maryland. But the regular season, mission accomplished, really, and then some. So they, presuming they do handle things here with the Terrapins, they win all the games they're supposed to. Frustrating again, but certainly right there against arguably the best team in the country, inarguably one of the best teams in the country. And I think that they have acquitted themselves well, but they've also set themselves up to have an historically great season now, depending on obviously on what happens here in the playoffs. But you get, the very unique and special opportunity to have that home playoff game at Beaver Stadium. I think from the start of the season, if you weren't going to win the Big Ten title, and I know that's still in play here as we're recording this, but I think that having that home playoff game has fans salivating and the opportunity to get to see playoff football at Beaver Stadium right before Christmas is going to be a really, really special opportunity.
I think other than the Christmas cookies, Jeff, a home playoff game might be the best thing going.
Yes. Part of it is the novelty for sure. That the fact that for many, many years, many decades, we didn't think this was even a possibility. One, playoffs. Two, having a playoff game in your actual stadium. And three, having it at Beaver Stadium, which hadn't been winterized. So win the whole way around as far as that goes. And yeah, I do think there's just such a special opportunity there for fans, for the program, obviously, as well. But I think for fans to have that chance, is really special. And, you know, I do think this team at 11-1 leaves quite a legacy behind, regardless of what happens in the playoffs. But certainly if it's able to forge ahead and win at least a playoff game and, you know, maybe even two or three or what, four? a chance to make it even more special. But in terms of what this team was able to accomplish, and I think, you know, Jim, when you look back at it, you know, having the special season that Tyler Warren has had makes that a little extra special. Seeing Drew Aller continue to develop makes it a little extra special. But also seeing them overcome some of the injuries, I mean, KJ Winston most notably, but throughout the season, different guys, different weeks, and seeing how it didn't really seem to disrupt things very much. Again, we've talked about it quite a bit, but it really speaks volumes about the development of the depth here that James Franklin has been able to forge within the program.
And Jeff, I think part of this, count me with you as the glass half full kind of guy with this. And I think what gets lost a little bit is particularly the games against USC and against Minnesota on the road. And maybe you could even throw in Wisconsin because the team was behind, Drew Aller nicked up. Those are places that in past James Franklin teams have lost that type of game. And I could name you about three or four Southeast Conference teams who wish that they had a close victory on the road against a inferior opponent. And it's not just that they came away from those games with wins, but it's how they did it. USC, tremendous comebacks, the fourth down conversions by Drew Aller. Wisconsin, Bo Prabula coming in and excelling in the second half. And here in Minnesota, that last drive, which I want to talk to you more about, but it's how they won those games. Very memorable if you're a Penn State fan.
No question. And I think when it's all said and done, again, it is about finding ways to win. And it's funny because I saw a couple of friends and some others, like even after they actually win the game over Minnesota, almost exasperated and playoff teams or championship contenders don't have to have fake punts to pull out a win against a 500 team.
Exactly, Jeff. That's crazy. We're going to pick up the conversation when we come back right after this break.
Every day is a great day to join us at Cafe 210 West to enjoy our daily drink specials. Mondays, it's the Cafe Tea Pitcher for $5. Tuesday, Smirnoff pitchers for $7. Wednesday, Bacardi pitchers are $7. And Thursdays, enjoy Cafe Tea pitchers for $5. All week, we have half-off draft beer and cafe tea from 9 to 11 p.m. and 6 to 8 p.m. on Fridays. So get the gang together and come on down to Cafe 210.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Halt Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. He's Jeff Byers. I'm Jim Galante. Jeff, I want to pick up the conversation with where we left it in quarter number one, because I kind of cut you short with your answer. And you were talking about some folks, they couldn't find the joy in that last drive against Minnesota.
Well, and the thing is, so when you look around all of college football this season, it always amuses me when Penn State fans, it's, wow, how can you only win by a field goal over USC, or how can you only win by a point over Minnesota? Those teams struggled. Well, first of all, I think both of those teams are more talented than their records would indicate. And, you know, different things happen, whatever. But sometimes you play a team when they're just really on. And Minnesota was clearly, I mean, they were up for that game. They were dialed in. They were wanting to send their seniors out with a really special, memorable win And all credit to PJ Fleck and company. They had that team ready and raring to go, and they were fired up and on point, really from start to finish. So, you know, Penn State, I think, admittedly didn't match the intensity or the passion that Minnesota played with in the first half. But I think Penn State did a good job of coming out and figuring some things out in that second half. And yeah, when it was crunch time, this team delivered when it needed to. And I think when you look around college football, it really is funny. And again, it's a handful of people, I think, with the Penn State fan base. I don't know that this is like indicative of the majority of fans or anything, but it is funny that you're making these proclamations on Penn State not deserving. And it's like, well, okay, did you look at Oregon's results against Idaho or at Wisconsin? Have you looked at, and again, you can go through every other team that's in the in playoff contention here, and they've all had at least a game, and in most cases, it's a couple of games that either they actually lost the game to a team that we would consider inferior and certainly in which they were favored against, or they had a much closer call against a team with a much worse record. Again, it's just the nature of college football, I think, in general, and certainly this year. And I think that when everything else is settled here, I think it's going to make for a really exciting playoffs, Jim, because I do think there are a bunch of teams, and I think Penn State is one of them, that, yeah, on a given day, I think Penn State could knock off anybody. And I think on a given day, there's probably 15 to 20 teams that are capable of knocking off Penn State if the Nittany Lions have that off day. So I think in the playoffs, it's going to be fun for the non-interested fans, the fans of college football in general that don't have a rooting interest, but also for the fans that do have a rooting interest. It's like, yeah, I think if you're in with maybe one or two exceptions, maybe your team has a real shot here of running the table and winning this thing, and also probably has a pretty good shot of losing in their first game and exiting the playoffs quickly.
Well, I think there's this running narrative about the Southeast Conference being so much better, and you know, and they're just beating each other up, and that's what's happening. And I have an issue with that narrative. Other than Georgia, I think Georgia's the one team that has played like five games against top teams, and they're 3-2 in those five games. I'm not sure how many other teams would survive that schedule, but Alabama has three losses. I suspect Ohio State, Oregon, Indiana, Penn State could probably go through Alabama's schedule and at least match that. I don't think they would lose to Oklahoma into Vanderbilt.
Well, and I agree with you, and that's the thing. It's who Alabama lost to as much as anything for me, Jim. And again, the way they lost to Oklahoma, that to me, they don't deserve to be in playoff consideration. And I think they deserve to be a good bit lower. And I think that the easy test there is, all right, if you put Indiana or, again, pick any school out there and you just take the Alabama name off and you give the same results, the same schedule, the exact same results, same statistics, I'm telling you, there is not a chance in the world that Penn State, with that exact same schedule, exact same results, Penn State is not getting ranked 13th. They're just not with losses to Vanderbilt. And then late in the season to an Oklahoma team that is, you know, a 500 type of team. And again, where it's not competitive and where your offense, I mean, 3 points, that's not a team to me that really is playoff worthy.
And I think if you do a comparison, I was thinking about this, Oklahoma in the now in the Southeast Conference and Michigan in the Big Ten, they are both big name teams, okay, who are just not really very good this year.
Yep.
Indiana, they get that as a nick against them. that they played Michigan close and won 20-15. Alabama plays, I think, a very comparable Oklahoma team and gets just gobsmacked.
Yes, I completely agree. And, you know, and again, it's not just that. I mean, even that Georgia team, like that Kentucky game, I know they won it. And yes, I mean, I'm with you. You give credit for that. But that's a Kentucky team that's won four games this season. And I mean, they were a whisker away, I think 13-12, or it was a 1-point game anyway. So, I mean, they couldn't get their offense going in that game. And again, it's early in the season and you find a way to win. And I'm all for, hey, close calls are fine, but you got to find a way to win. It's just interesting, as you said, where we ding teams for, oh man, you didn't win impressively there. And then other teams, again, that Alabama game with Oklahoma, it wasn't like, man, you just got to give Oklahoma credit. They pulled it out right at the end. I mean, Oklahoma smashed Alabama. The Tide's offense could not get out of its own way in that game.
I do disagree here on one thing that you said. You're dissing mighty Kentucky. This is a Kentucky team, you know, that beat Ole Miss at Ole Miss.
This is a fact. And listen, this is the nature of college football, where different teams on different days are able to rise to their occasion or to fall down and succumb to inferior competition. Jim, I really, as this season has played out, the game, I mean, and there's a bunch of them that have you scratching your head, but honest to God, how did Notre Dame lose to Northern Illinois? I mean, when you see what Northern Illinois has become since then, and you see what Notre Dame, and I get Notre Dame's schedule, it hasn't been, what one of the great schedules in the history of college football, but man, they are rolling over folks in impressive fashion. Honestly, like, how does that game happen?
Well, and what I find fascinating, and you're right, I think Notre Dame has been really impressive. What is that? 9 wins in a row, and they're routing people, but they still lost that game, Jeff. So there are a lot of folks, and I'm going to give you multiple quotes from national people here before this show ends. One of Nicole Arbach: how in the world is Notre Dame still behind Penn State in the rankings? Well, I'll tell you why. Penn State lost to the number 2 team in the country by one score. Notre Dame lost to a bad MAC team. That's how. You know, you still have to live with your losses. And Jeff, I suspect if Notre Dame beats USC handily at USC this week, we will see Notre Dame pass Penn State in the rankings.
I don't know. It'll be interesting to see. I'm not sure that's going to be the case, Jim. I think Penn State is kind of solidly in there now at number 4. And you know, the interesting thing with that Notre Dame Northern Illinois game, because at the time, and Northern Illinois was projected to be one of the MAC contenders this year, and that's what. And I think we even had the conversation somewhere there early in the season where it's like, listen, I mean, yeah, those losses, the loss for Notre Dame and then the close call for Penn State with Bowling Green, it's like they might not turn out to be, as awful as everybody's imagining in the moment. Well, Bowling Green turns out to not be, by MAC standards, a bad team. They're going to, play for the MAC championship, and they are, presuming that they finish out here. But, I mean, they've had a good season. I mean, not out of this world, but the 6-1 in the MAC and atop the MAC standing 7-4. Northern Illinois, if you haven't been following along, they are 3-4 in the MAC going into Saturday. And they're 6-5 overall. So yes, that is, it's an embarrassing loss for Notre Dame. And as you said, I mean, Penn State's only loss is an Ohio State team that may end up number 1 in the country going into the playoffs, depending on how things play out with the Michigan game and then the Big Ten championship game. And Penn State, certainly could have and arguably should have won that game, save for some play calls inside the 5 yard line. So yeah, to me, it's an easy justification in terms of Penn State being ahead of Notre Dame. And that's not to say that definitively one team or the other would win in a head-to-head matchup. I think it'd be a fascinating game if we do see it at some point.
I do too, Jeff. And at what point it's the age-old deserving versus best team. And I think in the narrative, in our heads, Alabama is one of the best teams. And because of that, they lost to Vanderbilt. Don't care. They're still one of the best teams. If this were played on a neutral field, who would be favored? And you keep hearing that. But at some point, Jeff, you've got to own your losses.
Yeah, and consistency is part of the game. And again, no team out there has been consistently great week in and week out. Like every team, I mean, even Oregon that's sitting there undefeated, again, they have a couple of games where you're like, ugh, that does not look like the number one team in the country for sure. Yeah, again, you have to take everything as a whole and look at it. And I think it's very interesting when you start comparing and you see the ebbs and flows of a season for all of these teams.
All right, Jeff, that's it for quarter number two. When we come back, I got a couple more quotes for you to react to. Stay tuned for that.
Every day is a great day to join us at Cafe 210 West to enjoy our daily drink specials. Mondays, it's the Cafe Tea Pitcher for $5. Tuesdays, Smirnoff Pitchers for $7. Wednesday, Bacardi Pitchers are $7. And Thursdays, enjoy Cafe Tea Pitchers for $5. All week, we have half-off draft beer and cafe tea from 9 to 11 p.m. and 6 to 8 p.m. on Fridays. So get the gang together and come on down to Cafe 210.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Halt Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number three. He's Jeff. I'm Jim. We're taking a look at college football, not just Penn State, but the national picture. Jeff, I want to read a quote for you. And I want to see if you could guess who said it. And here's the quote. This is a prominent college football person from the media. I hope Indiana gets to go to an SEC team's home stadium. And then I think we could find out what we already know, that the SEC team will beat them badly. Who do you think might have said that?
Well, it certainly wouldn't have been Paul Feinbaum. Paul just holds the Big Ten in the highest esteem. I don't know. Who was it?
It was Paul Feinbaum.
No kidding.
What a crazy, wild guess. A stab in the dark, Jeff, and you were correct. And what I find fascinating about this, again, I'll say it. You know, Indiana had Michigan. Alabama had Oklahoma. Difference is Indiana found a way to win the game. Now, I have no doubt if this game were played at Alabama, they'd be heavily favored. But I also find it fascinating that he says he wants Indiana on the road at the SEC place. Why doesn't he do it the other way, where the SEC team is going to Indiana to play the game?
Well, exactly. And I got to tell you, Jim, I mean, I think we might get to see that scenario, and we'll see. I would not be quite as confident if I were him. Like a Tennessee versus Indiana, you know, would I favor Tennessee? Sure, at home. Do I think it's ludicrous to think that Indiana could pull that game out? I don't. I think Indiana probably learned some things from that Ohio State game, and the players in particular. I mean, I'm sure the coaches did too. But I think they'll apply some lessons. And listen, I mean, it's fine to think that one team or another is going to win these games. How many games have we seen this season play out differently than what we were expecting? So, yeah, it's great that you're convinced that Tennessee would hammer Indiana, or, you know, whoever, Georgia would hammer Indiana. and maybe you'll turn out to be right. But, you know, I also, I suspect Paul Feinbaum was feeling pretty good about Alabama's chances against Oklahoma. I suspect he felt pretty good about Texas A&M's chances of winning this past weekend. And you go right down through, I mean, and every year you have a bunch of upsets. Who in their right mind would take Northern Illinois, especially knowing what we know now, over Notre Dame? And yes, if they rematch now, do I think Notre Dame wins and wins handily? Sure. But the point is, you can think whatever you want. Let's go ahead and see these games actually play out, and then we'll find out. And some of the games do play out the way people are expecting them to. But we have a lot of games, a lot of material saying that, yeah, what you think is going to happen maybe doesn't necessarily play out that way. And I actually, like Tennessee in particular, I think an Indiana-Tennessee game, sign me up for watching that one. I think that would be some fascinating television, and I'm not nearly as convinced as Mr. Feinbaum that result goes the way he thinks it would go.
Well, Jeff, I know the playoff committee gets criticized quite a bit. I actually am very okay with their rankings. I'm looking at them. I don't know if you have them in front of you, but they get blasted. If you do have it in front of you, is there anything that sticks out to you as I could see, oh, someone's 9, someone's 10, vice versa. But I really don't have much problem with anything they've done.
No, I would have some adjustments in how I would have it. But, yeah, I don't think there's anything there that's egregious. And I don't think there's anything there that they couldn't reasonably justify. Certainly not in the top 12. Again, truthfully, my biggest gripe would be Alabama being where it is coming off of. Again, it's not just that they lost to Oklahoma, but that's their third loss. And you have, I would argue, two pretty bad losses now with Vanderbilt and Oklahoma. I'm just not sure. To me, Ole Miss would be more deserving than Alabama of being up there. And I'm not, again, it's not unreasonable. I think there's reasonable arguments to be made with some different teams with one loss and with two losses. And we may come to different conclusions. At the end of the day, and I've been talking about this a good bit the last 2 weeks, Jim, I just think it's really hard to, like Chris Buchanani and I were talking this week, and, you know, he was basically complaining that there's not any kind of objective criteria. And I said, well, one of the problems is, like, what would you do for objective criteria? Because none of us, I think we would all agree that just using records, well, that's not a fair way to do it, because SMU's schedule versus Georgia's is obviously not comparable. Indiana's versus, Ohio State's, whatever. You can. So I don't want just, hey, we just go by the record. But I do think it gets really difficult when you start trying to compare like a one-loss SMU or a one-loss Indiana with a three-loss Alabama. I think there's a lot of things there that you can use that you could argue one way or the other. And even Ole Miss. Again, I think when Ole Miss has been on, man, they look like one of the top teams in the country and a legit national title contender. There's been a couple of games this year where I'm like, that doesn't really look like a playoff team to me. So, but again, I think you can say that about just about every team that's in the rankings there, including Oregon sitting there at number one.
And you have to look at, you mentioned Ole Miss, that, you know, at times they may look like the best team, but they lost to Florida. They lost to Kentucky. You can't whitewash those. You can't erase those. And I understand people saying, well, you also got to worry about the left-hand column, the wins. Yes, you do. And that's where I feel like Georgia has the argument, because I would say nobody has the three quality wins that Georgia has, having beaten Tennessee, Texas on the road, and also having beaten Clemson. So, like I said, I think, though, Jeff, it's got to stop being, well, if you play in the Southeast Conference, you're playing this level schedule. Not necessarily. And the same way, as difficult as it is for me to give credit to Ohio State, they had to play Oregon, Penn State, Indiana, and Michigan. Yep. So, I say you've got to give Ohio State a lot of credit for what they've accomplished.
For sure. And beating both playing both Oregon and Penn State on the road. Ohio State fans yes. feel like they should have won that game at Oregon. But no, I'm with you. There's the other thing that makes it difficult, Jim, is the how you give or don't give credit for the schedules, I think, becomes tricky because, like Texas, when it schedules a game in Ann Arbor, like you are trying to schedule a big-time challenge for yourself. Like that is, well, are you going to penalize Texas because Jim Harbaugh and three-quarters of that starting lineup leaves after last year? I mean, they obviously, when that game was scheduled, have no idea that that's going to play out the way it is. So, you know, how much credit do you give them for, hey, we tried to schedule like a big time tough opponent, and now they're getting,
a 500
discredited team. Because, man, your schedule isn't very good. Well, okay, but like what more did you want them to do? That's I think that becomes the other tricky part, especially in college football, is, you know, sometimes you're scheduling a game where you're trying to get the automatic W, like Notre Dame did with Northern Illinois, and that doesn't work out. And other times you're really trying to get credit for scheduling a big-time opponent, and there you are with a 500 Michigan team this year.
Well, and that leads you back to, you know, your discussion with Chris about it would be very hard. What is the criteria? But I do think you have to obviously look at strength of schedule, or something they now call strength of record, which is, you know, what you accomplish with it. Obviously, and I know I'm being ridiculous here. I could have the absolute toughest schedule in the country, but if I go 0-12, you know.
Yeah, you can't get a lot of credit for that. Yeah.
No. But, you know, if you're trying to judge two teams that are 10-2, well, show me your quality of wins, show me your quality of losses.
Sure.
And I think that's where it becomes pretty clear that a two-loss Georgia is probably the best of the two-loss teams, and probably even better than some of the one-loss teams.
Yeah.
And that's why I said I thought the committee did a pretty good job, and Georgia, that's where they are. They're seated set. And by the way, and we do this, it's what we do every week. We overreact to these where so much of the criticism of Indiana being in the top five. Stop. They're going to get a chance against Ohio State. And if they win, they belong there. And if they lose, not. And it's the same way, a little bit different kind of situation. But Texas has not had a great schedule. They have not. And if they lose to A&M, I think they deserve to really drop below other two-loss teams.
Yep.
But you know what? They're going to have A&M and Georgia.
Yep.
And if they win both those games, Jeff, guess what? They deserve it.
They're right where they should be. Absolutely. Yeah, and again, I think a lot of this stuff is going to play itself out, as it often does.
The other game this week that I think will be interesting and fun and kind of tell us where things are, Clemson and South Carolina. It's a Southeast Conference school. ACC is talking about getting a second team in there. Boy, this would go a long way to say, whether it's Clemson or not, it would go a long way in saying the ACC deserves two teams.
No, I agree. That's a huge game for the ACC, for the conference as a whole, and obviously certainly for Clemson to keep its playoff hopes alive.
And I know there's a whole bunch of people in the South who are rooting for South Carolina to run away with that game and say, see? I told you so. And by the way, South Carolina has been playing really well. recently. So that'll be an interesting game, one of many. All right, Jeff, that's going to be it for quarter three. When we come back, yeah, guess what? I'm going to talk to you a little bit about Penn State, this upcoming game with Maryland. We're going to do that when we come back.
Every day is a great day to join us at Cafe 210 West to enjoy our daily drink specials. Mondays, it's the Cafe Tea Pitcher for $5. Tuesday, Smirnoff Pitchers for $7. Wednesday, Bacardi Pitchers are $7. And Thursdays, enjoy Cafe Tea Pitchers for $5. All week, we have half-off draft beer and cafe tea from 9 to 11 p.m. and 6 to 8 p.m. on Fridays. So get the gang together and come on down to Cafe 210.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Hulk Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number four. He's Jeff. I'm Jim. Jeff, I promised we'd get back to Penn State, but before I do, just real quick, we've been talking about the playoff configuration and where teams are seeded, and I know things are going to change a bit in the next couple weeks, but as they sit right now, these are the games we would get: Georgia and Tennessee, Notre Dame, SMU, Penn State, Indiana, Ohio State, Arizona State. The first thing that sticks out to me is this: Penn State, Indiana, two Big Ten teams, Georgia, Tennessee, two Southeast Conference teams. Do you think the committees will try to tweak it so that doesn't happen?
I don't know. I don't know how much consideration there is there. It certainly wouldn't surprise me if quietly and discreetly that is what occurs. But on the other hand, I got to tell you, Jim, and I know Penn State Indiana game doesn't exactly get Nittany Lion fans fired up the way like a Notre Dame or a Tennessee or just about any other team you could throw out there does. But I think there is a lot of intrigue there for that matchup nationally. And I think a lot of people, including fans of both of those teams, like, yeah, I wonder what that actually would look like here this season. So, and Tennessee, Georgia, I think would be much the same thing. It's like, all right, well, at this stage of the season, let's see where both teams are at. So I'm not sure. I don't know that because that's going to be great TV if with those matchups. I mean, if everything stayed exactly the same, and it won't, and we understand that. But I think those matchups are all, to me, pretty intriguing for various reasons. Although, yes, I am hoping, as I think most are, that you get ideally an SEC team, but some team from a warmer clime coming into Beaver Stadium for that presumably December 21st matchup.
I don't have any problem with a Penn State Indiana matchup. I'm kind of curious. And I think what's even more critical is just what we've been talking about all along, Jeff, which is you're right, in state college. What do you think the buzz would be like for a home playoff game?
I think it's going to be unbelievable. I mean, I do think it was interesting. We've been kind of kicking around this week from a fan's perspective. I don't think there's any question the coaches and players would love the opportunity to play for a Big Ten title. And, you know, I think they'll rightfully be rooting for Michigan to beat Ohio State and to get that opportunity. From a fan's perspective, I think fans are so excited about this prospect and this opportunity that it's almost going to be a disappointment if Penn State goes out and wins a Big Ten title and gets the bye into the quarterfinal round, because, oh, we had that opportunity right here to go see a playoff game at Beaver Stadium. And I think there's you're going to be torn a little bit, in all honesty, as a fan, again, just because of that, the unique opportunity there to have that game. I think it'll be the most anticipated game here in Penn State history, just because of how unique it is, and obviously the new opportunity here for Penn State to finally get into a playoff game, and then to have it right here in your backyard, where you can go to the same venue that you've watched them play all season or over the years, is just that hype is going to be out of this world special.
You talked about fans being torn. I'm not torn, Jeff. I want a home game.
I hear you. Yep, I hear you. It would be so special. Of course, I won't be here for it because I'll be in Nashville with the Penn State wrestling team has a tournament on the 22nd. So we have three meets there on the 22nd. So the irony there. Penn State finally gets that home playoff game, and yep, I'll be watching that on TV down in Nashville, Tennessee.
When do you leave? Do you leave on Saturday the 21st or on Friday the 20th?
Sure, if we're leaving on the 21st or if we're leaving on the 20th yet. I haven't actually confirmed that just yet.
Because one of those first round games is actually played Friday night. And that I think, Jeff, if you just point out that you won't be available, the college football playoff group will adjust and play Penn State Friday night.
You would certainly think they would accommodate me, but we'll have to see how that plays out.
I would think they would, Jeff. I would think they would accommodate you. So anyway, all right. So we know the Penn State fan base, they want the home playoff game. But let's talk going into this. Jeff, are you concerned at all about the Maryland game?
I'm really not, but honestly, Jim, I was not nearly as concerned as some others were about the Minnesota game, and turns out I probably should have been. But no, listen, Maryland has some great individual players, great receiver. I think their receiving core as a whole is good. I did get a kick out of James Franklin saying this is the best passing offense. It is not. I know it is statistically. They are passing for the most yards per game on average. That is true. Statistically, they rank number one. This is not, make no mistake, this is not the best passing offense in the Big Ten. There's a reason those numbers are what they are, and it has a lot to do with a team that is way behind on a regular basis and having to try to play catch up. And yes, there's going to be some yards given up against prevent defenses and all of that. So, which is not to say that they don't have a good passing game, but it's just it is not the most feared. I'll say that in the Big Ten, not by a long shot.
I feel I'm, as part of the Keystone Kickoff Show, I'm contractually obligated to ask you your prediction and bold prediction for the game, but I just want to get that out of the way so I could ask you other questions.
I got it 41-10 Penn State. I do think they send the seniors out on a very high note, and they take control of this game very early and handle it. And my bold prediction will be that Bo Prabula will have three touchdowns, one way or another, running passing combination, three touchdowns on the board for Bo Prabula on Saturday.
I can always count on you being bold, Jeff. You listen to instructions. I ask for bold prediction, I get bold. All right, I want just one more thing. I want to get your take on this. Is James Franklin last week, I want to talk about that last drive. They go for it three times on fourth down, most notably in their own territory. I think it was the 34-yard line with the fake punt. I know this doesn't change the narrative of winning a big game, but does it change the narrative of him getting too conservative and losing games he shouldn't?
Here is the thing, Jim. We need to see what happens in the playoffs, because what I've been talking about this week is there was a confidence there from Penn State. And I think it was born from, hey, they've won against all of the teams that they were supposed to beat over the last 3 years. Like every single time they've taken the field and it's a game they're supposed to win, they've gone out and they've won the game. And so I think there was a deeply held belief that, yeah, we're just going to find a way, we'll figure this out, and we'll win this game. I also think that particular play, and James Franklin, I thought, did a very good job breaking it down in the press conference this week. He had supreme confidence. Now, it's one thing to be confident, another to actually see it executed. But he said, you know, they have practiced that hundreds of times during the season. They had called it a bunch of times, and the players called it off because they didn't like the look. And when you look at that play, Jim, and I've gone back and looked at it probably 25 to 30 times now, and honestly, everybody executes that play to perfection. They pick up the blocks they're supposed to. They drive their opponent back off of the ball. Reynolds hits the hole exactly where you're supposed to hit it, goes beautifully out toward the sideline. I mean, everything was well done. And they obviously had confidence because also they had run that play many times and everybody felt like they knew exactly what they were supposed to do and had their assignment in check. So whether or not, so to me, it's one thing. Yep. You called it, you executed against Minnesota when you needed it. But I think part of the confidence was, hey, we're playing Minnesota. We know we're a better team. Can you do, not necessarily that particular play, but can you come up with that type of a call and execution against an Ohio State or an Oregon or a Georgia or a Miami or whomever it may be when you need it? I don't know. Do I feel better about the possibility now than I did going into that Minnesota game? I do, but I'm not going to sit here and tell you, yep, now we know that they're ready to go win a national title. But I think it's certainly another step in that process, and I do think it's an indication, again, that they did learn from that Ohio State loss, and they're applying those lessons as they continue to build toward the playoffs here.
And I think, Jeff, that last thing you mentioned is what I'm hoping for and is the most important. Was there a lesson learned there that for us to win games, and let's face it, it wasn't just those three plays inside the 5-yard line against Ohio State. There were other indications that they just got conservative. And yes, there's some argument for it football-wise. Well, that's a good team, so you might not be able to get away with those things. Well, but if you're going to win against a good team, you've got to play to win, not to avoid losing, Jeff.
Yes. And part of it too, Jim, it to me is just go seize the moment. Like on that final drive against Minnesota, they seized it. And it was like, man, this is an opportunity. And I don't think they were playing uptight. I think the players were excited about, again, man, we know what we're doing. Let's go. This is cool. We're going to get this opportunity. And they went out and did it. Have that same mentality. At the end of the day, it is a game. You get a great opportunity here. And certainly if they get to the playoffs, hopefully that's the mindset. Man, what an opportunity. Let's go out and let it fly. Have some fun. And, yeah, if it doesn't work, you try a trick play or two. Okay. I think you'd much rather, again, go down having fired everything that you could than, oh, man, we left a couple things in the bag. Wonder what would have happened if we had used those. Just go ahead and let it fly. And again, maybe it doesn't work out. Again, I don't think there's much separating a lot of the teams that will be in the playoffs, but go have some fun with it and see what happens.
I love it. Go down swinging, Jeff, if you're going to go down. Amen. That's the final word. Thank you all for listening. Make sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Every day is a great day to join us at Cafe 210 West to enjoy our daily drink specials. Mondays, it's the Cafe Tea Pitcher for $5. Tuesday, Smirnoff Pitchers for $7. Wednesday, Bacardi Pitchers are $7. And Thursdays, enjoy Cafe Tea Pitchers for $5. All week, we have half-off draft beer and Cafe Tea from 9 to 11 p.m. and 6 to 8 p.m. on Fridays. So get the gang together and come on down to Cafe 210.